1 Samuel chapter 7. I want to just go quickly this morning because God's taking us somewhere, even in worship, some of the prophetic that came. He's taking us somewhere this morning, and part of my testimony, he's taking us to a place this morning where miracles happen. There's a place where God, what God manifests in our presence, there's a place where he gets us to where miracles can happen, where there's nothing in between us and him. How many know God wants to do miracles all the time? Amen. How many know God wants to do miracles all the time? He's a miracle-working God. Never do we invite God and just say, God, sit over there, and when we're ready for you, we'll call on you. We've got hymn number 429. We've got an offering. We've got, you know, we've got these things that God, whenever we call on you, then you could speak, but not too long. I mean, you know, when God comes, he comes as God. He may be called many names, but they all lend to his lordship. I want to take you back a little bit, take you back thousands of years to Israel. Israel had messed up, and messed up really bad. They had some judges, and they'd have a good judge, and they'd be blessed, and they'd have a bad judge, and they'd be cursed, and they were a mess. And the presence of God, the Moses in the midst of, you know, Moses' tabernacle in the midst of the people, the presence of God was always there out. On the Day of Atonement, God forgave and all of that. Well, one day, they got so bad that the Philistines came and took the presence of God. They took it. They took the presence of God. He was gone. They took the ark and they left. But how many know? People may say they know God. Philistines thought they had won. Right around the time that the Philistines had taken the ark, in, if you look in chapter 4, verse 19, just before that, now his daughter-in-law, Phinehas, his wife, was with child due to be delivered, and when she heard the news that the ark of God was captured and that her father-in-law and her husband were dead, she bowed herself and gave birth, for her labor pains came upon her. And about the time of her death, the women who stood by her said to her, "Do not fear, for you have borne a son." But she did not answer. Then she named, in verse 21, the child Ichabod, saying, "The glory has departed from Israel, because the ark of God has been captured, and because of her father-in-law and her husband." And she said, "The glory has departed from Israel, for the ark of God has been captured." And the Philistines took the ark. Two companies exist today, should be thankful for the Philistines: Terminex and Preparation H. Because if you read the account, the Philistines didn't keep the presence of God long, because he struck them with rats and hemorrhoids. He did. Hello, Terminex. Hey, honey, while you're at the drugstore, get some Preparation H. Come on, somebody. Presence of God is meant for his people. The presence of God is meant for those who have repented and come into his kingdom. That's where the presence of God belongs. Amen. Come on, somebody. So, whenever the ark was... Now the Philistine says, "We in trouble." So what we're going to do is we're going to build an ark, and we're going to put some cows, we're going to hook up cows to a cart, and we're going to put the ark on it. What we're going to do is if the cows keep going back to Israel, back to the Jews, we're going to know that it was God. If they wander off somewhere else, it was just happenstance. These hemorrhoids and this trouble that we're having was just, that's because life. So they followed the cart, and the cart, sure enough, the cattle load as they went, and they went back to Israel. The Philistines are, whew. So the ark came to the men of Beth Shemesh. And they said, man, the ark of God is with us. So Israelites said, well, I know what we'll do. Let's take the lid off and look at it. They did. They got together and they said, the presence of God, man. God, you're invited in, but we got to see what's under the lid. Under the hood, you know. What's under the hood? And they lifted the lid and over 50,000 men died. Beth Shemesh. 50,000. This wasn't Terminex and Preparation H. This was the children of Israel that should have known better. Come on, somebody. Can you imagine? Over 50,000 died. And the men in Beth Shemesh said, we don't think we want the ark with us. Those that were left. And they got a hold of some people in Kirjath Jearim. And they said, come and get the ark. The ark of God is back with the Israelites, but we don't know what to do with it. So you come and get the presence of God. Watch in verse 7, verse 1, it says, the men of Kirjath Jearim came and took the ark of the Lord and brought it into the house of Abinadab on the hill and consecrated Eleazar, his son, to keep the ark of the Lord. It says in verse 2, so it was that the ark remained in Kirjath-Jearim a long time. It was there 20 years. And all the house of Israel lamented after the Lord. It was actually gone from Israel for another 50 years. 70 years altogether, the presence of God, the ark of God, was gone from Israel. I mean, no, 70 years is a long time. Turn to somebody and say, 70 years is a long time. Presence of God is gone. It's just gone. It's just not in Israel. Ichabod, the woman that prophesied, Ichabod, the presence of the Lord has left, was telling the truth. And for 70 years, they kept going through all the motions at the tabernacle. Sacrificing and going in every year, the high priest went into an empty room, sprinkled blood on the ground. Are you listening to me? The holy presence of God, the Ark of the Covenant, was taken. Went to Nab's house. And Abinadab had the Ark of God. I did some research and found that Abinadab was a Levite. He was a Levitical priest. And so he ought to have known what to do with the Ark. How many know? He ought to know. He was trained. It's the Ark of God. This is what we do. We put a tent. We do the deal. Eleazar is the priest. He's going to take care of the Ark. Nothing was heard of for 70 years in Abinadab's house. Children were raised, grandkids came, the presence of God was somewhere in Ab's house, but nobody knew it. Nobody knew it. Neighbors were. Nobody knew it. Come on, somebody. Right after the presence of God was gone and the judges were gone, Israel in the meantime said, well, God's not here, so we're going to appoint ourselves a king. Presence of God is not here, and Samuel, you're getting old. We're going to give us a king. How many have lived long enough to know that politics is not the answer? Turn to somebody and say, he's preaching now. He's preaching. Politics is not the answer. I think one of the things that you have to do to be a politician is take a crazy test and flunk it. We need men of God, women of God in politics. How many know? We need to take that back. Because, man, we've given it over to the enemy, and they sure have made a mess of it. But that notwithstanding, Israel now is done. They're done with the presence of God. They can't find the presence of God. And Abinadab, listen, is not giving it up. Abinadab is not talking about the presence of God. He's got the Ark of the Covenant somewhere in his house. And nobody's talking about it. His neighbors don't know the presence. A presence of Almighty God is in his house. He ain't talking about it. Israel's not talking about it. And so notwithstanding all of that stuff, they get the king and this and that. And there's wars and all kinds of things. And Saul is, you know, he's not waiting to sacrifice. He's got this and that. And God says, I would have established your throne forever if you'd have listened to me. He said to Saul, I would have made your name forever. It would have never been erased from history. But now, because you wouldn't wait on me, but now you did not respect me, I'm gone. A little old shepherd that was killing bears and lions and giants showed up. Come on, somebody. And he said, where is the presence of God? Where's the presence of God? Call my counsel. Where's the presence of God? It's over at Ab's house. It's on the hill. Now, as I studied this, I found Ab lived on a hill, so they wanted to take God to a high place. And they wanted him to be comfortable so he could have a good view. Come on, somebody. By the time they went to get the ark, he had two boys, and I found out they were actually grandsons. He called them sons, but often in the Old Testament, even in the New Testament, sons, grandsons were called sons. So his Ahio and Uzzah were going to take care of the ark. So David shows up with over 50,000. Watch what it says. Turn to 2 Samuel chapter 6. You with me so far? Second Samuel chapter 6. Watch what it says. And David gathered all the choice men of Israel, 30,000. And David rose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. So they set the ark of God on a new cart and brought it out of the house of Ambibadab. Now you're a neighbor of Ambibadab. You know, it's a nice day outside, and all of a sudden you see all these soldiers and people, 30,000 people show up at your neighbor Ambibadab's house. Come on, somebody. And they not only show up, but they got a band with them. They got flutes and timbrels and drums and singers. And man, he said, nobody announced a parade today. Are you there? Come on, somebody. What in the world has gone over at Ambibadab's house? It's on a hill. Everybody sees it. All the neighbors are going, what in the world's going on? And then the ark comes out. And because the ark was brought on a cart to Ambibadab's, David inquired and said, how was the ark brought here? Okay, get the ark, get the cart, get the oxen, and put the thing on the cart, and we'll take it. Come on, somebody. And you can read it. What happens? Everybody knows what happened. Watch in verse 5, David and all the house of Israel played music before the Lord. All the house of Israel. On all kinds of instruments, of fir wood, on harps, on stringed instruments, on tambourines, on sistrums, and on cymbals. And when they came to Nacon's threshing floor, about a half a mile to a mile down the road, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it, for the oxen stumbled. The anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, not against Israel, not against David, against Uzzah. What happened in Ambibadab's house that God was now angry with those that touched the ark? And God struck him there for his error, and he died there by the ark of God. And David became angry because of the Lord's outbreak against Uzzah. And he called the name of the place Perez Uzzah. To this day, David was afraid of the Lord that day. And he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me? How can the presence of God come to me? Was his cry. David would not move the ark of the Lord with him into the city of David, but David took it aside into the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite. Verse 11, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months, and the Lord blessed Obed-Edom and all his household. Now, who is Obed-Edom? He's a Gittite. He's part of the tribe of Dan. He's not a Levite. He's not been trained in the ways of taking care of arks and presence of God. But when they get to his house and knock on his door and said, If you don't mind Obed-Edom, we've run into some problems here. And we've got to keep the ark at your house. Can you do that? And you can almost hear Obed-Edom say, what? This is incredulous, man. I've been crying out to God, and His very presence is coming to my house. Yes, sir, He can come in. Bring the ark right in here, and He set it in a prominent place in His house. He's not a Levite. He doesn't have a priest. None of His sons are. There's not a Levitical priest to be found in His house. Are you there? And His whole household is blessed. You can almost see it every day. The Ark of the Covenant is in the center of whatever living space they had. And they're worshiping and they're crying out to God. God, thank You for Your presence. Thank You. And all of His household is blessed. Your neighbors with Obed-Edom. And you just see the glory all the time at the house. And I'd like to think that Obed-Edom had lots of parties. Come on over. The presence of God is in my house. Presence of Almighty God. We're not going to lift the lid to look in. We're not going to uncover it. We know there is the presence of God. And the scripture says, His whole house, blessed Obed-Edom and his whole household. Verse 12, now it was told King David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him because of the ark of God. David said, let's go up and get the ark. I want what Obed-Edom has. David was hungry. So it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone six paces that he sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. Scholars disagree about how many sheep and oxen were sacrificed. Some say it was sacrificed the first six steps and then not sacrificed for a while. Others say every six steps there was sacrifice taking place. It was about a 6-7 mile trek from where they were into Jerusalem. So you can imagine. Now there weren't 30,000. Word gets out fast. When the presence of God comes, what we're reading with words on a page cannot be duplicated in our hearts. Now there's not 30,000 people. Read with me in verse 15. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. David did some studying in those 3 months. It was at Obed-Edom's house. Listen to me very carefully. God will not be mocked. He'll not come in to a county, a city, an area, a nation on man-made devices. We've tried it in the United States. We've got some of the most beautiful cathedrals and houses of worship man could ever want. You go into some of these places, man, and it's like breathtaking. I remember going into a church down south in Pennsylvania, near Philadelphia. I forget the name of the place, but the place is, man, you walk in out of the outside and you come in and the carpet is so thick you can't even fit. It's like walking on air, man. And you walk in and it's a beautiful, ornate chandeliers hanging everywhere. Man, the smell is beautiful. And they got this beautiful coffee shop over in the corner. Good coffee. And you walk in, and the stage, the lights, and you know they start worshiping, and smoke comes up, man. And you walk down front, and in the front. Now I'm going to talk to the elders about this, so just be warned. But in the front, there's a big, beautiful cushioned chairs, not like the other chairs. These chairs are like almost like the wingbacks, but better. And that's for the man of God and the first lady. Pastor and his wife. I don't want anything too outstanding, but I wouldn't mind having a padded chair up here, you know. Come on, somebody. I'm joking. joking. And you think when you walk in this place, man, this place got it all together. God is really blessed to be a part of this church. God, you're really blessed, man. You have blessed this church. You got all the things. You got the chandeliers. You got the lights, the smoke, the coffee. And you even got easy chairs for the man of God. Come on, somebody, you're there. Yeah. I sat through a service there and was not impressed. I wanted to look for God in the sanctuary and couldn't find him. And I thought to myself, maybe he's taking a break today. Maybe he's visiting another building somewhere. Now, the difference between Ab's house and Ob's house. Ab, man, 70 years he had the presence of God. He didn't tell anybody. Shh, just Eliezer. And Eliezer grew old and decrepit. And it says he took care of the ark. I don't know what he did. What'd you do with the ark? Oh, I dusted it off. I don't know what you did with the ark. And the first time they got close to the ark, and nobody from Abinadab's, nobody from his household insisted to go with the ark. They didn't end up in Solomon's temple. Obed-Edom's children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren served in the temple. Obed-Edom quit whatever he was doing, was a doorkeeper in the house of God. He said, hello, welcome, open the door. Because the presence of God is where he wanted to be. He said, if you got to take the ark, I ain't leaving it. I'm going with you. Come on, somebody. We live in a strange time. It's been years. Listen, if you take into account the 70 years that Israel was without the ark, and then when David brought it into the city of Jerusalem, he didn't even take it to Gershon, where the tabernacle was, or the tabernacle in the midst of the tribes was in Gershon, Gibeon, 5 miles away. And they took the ark to David's backyard. That's where they set up the ark. He put a tabernacle up. He put a tent up. It's nothing more than a tent. He went in and out of there and had worship. He appointed worshipers, Jeduthun and Asaph and the rest. Asaph wrote some of the psalms. You can read them. Man, they sat there and wrote music all day, sang all day. 24-7, the presence of God was with David. 100 years, the presence of God was gone from Israel, from all the religious people. It's a long time. Some of us have been serving God a long time, and we read about the presence of Almighty God. We talk about it, and we pine for it. But God has began to visit New Life with his presence. Began. It's almost like doing something in Plaster Paris. You do it. It's beautiful. It's almost like doing something before you put it in the kiln. You shape it, you form it, and you say, if anybody touches this thing, I'm going to deal with you. It's so silent. It's silently. You just say, if we touch it, it'll go away. Maybe this is just a visitation. No, God is visiting New Life. And the presence of God is open and manifest. Because that's what he wants to do. How many know where God goes? He wants to center. He doesn't have a personality problem. He just says, I'm God. Where I go, I'm the center of attention. Deal with it. It's the way I am. I created you. And it's not about you, it's about me. It's always going to be about me. It always was about me. Well, the Bible says, we ask sometimes, God, why have you made me thus? And none of your business. I made you. I saved you. I put your name in my book. You said to me, God, whatever you want, I'll give you. I'm just calling it. But I'm going to be the center of attention. But I'm going to be the Lord. But every knee shall bow. But all of that. And I'm going to give you eternal life. I'm going to bless you. I'm going to answer your prayers. I'm going to do all that. I'm going to lift this. I'm going to take care of that. I'm going to bless you. But it's all about me. Religion boasts of tradition and longevity. But no perceivable power exists. 100 years of going into the Holy of Holies and practicing religion. And it was completely dead. Relationship with God has immediate benefits. The manifest presence of God changes things. Obed-Edom's house will never be the same. Not a priest, not a Levite, not trained. He was a Gittite. He was just part of the nation of Israel. But he recognized relationship over religion. Religion takes the position of authority without the experience of a face-to-face encounter with God. I said to my wife, can you imagine going to some of these churches that exist, standing up in the middle of the hymn number 429 and prophesying? I guarantee you, before you get done with the prophecy, you're going to be asked to leave. And if you're not, if they're polite enough to go ahead and let your mouth off, they say, don't come back. Because we don't want to hear what God is saying out of you. We want to read about, for the 150th time, we're reading about David killing Goliath. By golly, he did it too. Right there it is. Slew him, took his neck, took his head off. Turn to hymn number 465. We're going to end the service today. Where is the presence of God? He ain't there. Come on, somebody. I'm not mocking him. I'm just saying that's just the facts, the way it is. I was raised that way. Many of you were raised that way. In a church where we always talked about the presence of God, but he never showed up. They say, God, are we on a circuit here? Are we on a list? Are you like going to visit us whenever I am not here anymore? I graduate high school. I go, maybe I come back. Would you announce to me when God is going to show up? May we never take for granted what happened. Even here this morning, the presence of God just comes in and begins to minister. It's because he's honored here. He wants to have the first place in our heart. Come on, someone. The whole atmosphere of new life is coming with a tremendous change. There's no denying it. Many have said, where is this gonna end up? And I love to give the answer. I don't know. I don't know. I don't have the corner on. I'm not about to tell God where I want him to go. We are to be free to receive all that God has. And the thing is God will let us do what we want to do. Free will means we can be like Abibadab and warehouse the name of Jesus. We can be like input sign. We can use the electronic sign. Jesus is here. And keep him in a room somewhere. Just put use his name. You know, new life. What's the new life? It's about Jesus. Well, when's the last time he showed up? It's been a while. And we name his name every Sunday, but you know, he haven't really showed up and done anything. We could do that. We're free to do that. You know what? If Jesus doesn't return 50 years from now, we'd be doing the same thing. Or we could choose to be like Obed-Edom. Man, the presence of God is here. I can't wait to tell somebody. Come on over, man. Just be, and you get to. And the neat thing about this is you get to take it home with you. I wake up in the morning, go down to my kitchen. I've been serving God a long time. The manifest presence of God is so often in my home, I get the goosebumps. I haven't had goosebumps in years. Come on, somebody. Anybody experiencing that in your home right now? Come on, put your hand up. Look around. It's about to spread. See? There are sadly many who warehouse God in beautiful buildings with flawless programs as well as excellent worship choirs and worship teams with training and skill that never hear God speak. If the church that is named after the Lord does not honor God, he is under no obligation to bless or otherwise occupy that building, that entity, that organization. It will run its natural life out. And I contend that God had sovereignly picked Obed-Edom's house. Man picked Abibadab's house. God picked Obed-Edom's house. man said, let's put him at the Levites. He's on a hill. Says, God, go to the high places. We'll put him up at a high place. We'll appoint a priest. But man, 50,000 men just died from Beth Shemesh. Because of the Philistines, now we got a guy starting Terminex in town. And Preparation H is being developed over across the way here. Presence of God, we'll put him with the priest. The priest knows what to do. We're out of here. You and I are priests of the Lord. David found out that the presence of God is carried on the shoulders of the priest. Turn to somebody and say, you are a priest of God. We have the authority to represent and carry out the power of God. When David heard that the presence of God was blessing the family of Adonijah, he went immediately to bring that presence to him. And when he brought it into Israel, everything changed. When he brought it into Jerusalem, everything changed. Everything changed. God gave victory not only to David, but to all of Israel. It wasn't long until it said that David was at peace with all his enemies. It was the most prosperous time that Israel had ever, for hundreds of years, ever experienced, because David honored the presence of Almighty God. You say, where was the Almighty at? Where was he dwelling? He was dwelling in David's backyard. But everybody was welcome to come. So what did any bring, you know, bring a turtle dove. If you're poor, bring a turtle dove and we'll cut its neck off and sprinkle blood around. No, he said, come on in, sit down. We're going to worship the Lord. Jeduthun and Asaph and the rest and the timbrels and the dancers and the things. You can come anytime you want and hear what's happening. The presence of the Lord is in the tabernacle and you're free to come. You're free to be. Listen, Jerusalem was experiencing some of the greatest peace and blessing that an area and a nation had ever experienced. And it culminated in building one of the most beautiful buildings. Solomon's temple was beautiful. The presence of God was there. Didn't last long because they started worshiping the temple instead of the presence. I'm preaching better than you're saying amen. Gibeon had the tabernacle. And I'm amazed when I think about that. Listen, I want to keep you for a few more minutes, but I'm amazed at what happened there. Can you understand? You're in Gibeon. You live in Gibeon. You know that Moses' tabernacle is right there, but you never see the glory cloud. You never see the presence of God. You can hear the animals screaming as they're sacrificed. You can smell the blood. You can smell all the religious stuff that's going on there. Come on, somebody. Burning flesh, burning hair. Over there, what the heck is this? This is the tabernacle in the midst of the tribes, man. Where's the presence of God? Oh, he's behind that curtain over there. Can I go see him? Absolutely not. There's only one guy who goes see him. Go talk to the high priest. Go to the high priest. Hey, can I go to see the presence of God? High priest says, nope, it's only on the Day of Atonement, and I'm the only one that gets to go in there. Well, what's it like, man? I can't tell you. You know why? Because there's nothing in there. 17 years old, I go to my pastor. 17 years old, my life's falling apart. Go to my pastor, never forget it. It the one and only time, the only other person that knew what I was going on, and a 17-year-old boy, what was going on? Nobody on this earth knew what was going on. I finally poured my heart. I just gave him everything, man. I just dumped on him. I mean, you ever saw it? You know, you say it was like a deer caught in the headlights. He was like, that's the way he said the whole time I'm talking to him, what's going on in my house, what I've had to go through. 17 years old. I got done. He goes, I guess I should pray with you. God bless this young man. Help him to be able to. I was like, what the? I just poured my guts out on you. I need help. You shouldn't even let me go back home. Talking about some serious stuff here, my friends. You're in Gibeon in the presence of God, and then somebody comes by your house and says, man, you ought to see what's happening in King's backyard. What? Man, there's parties there 24/7. You want to go? And you go in the back, in David's backyard, and there are things happening. People are blessed. Presence of God. Why? Because God is Lord. Close Psalm 106. I'm closing, I promise. Psalm 106. Somebody said, do you mind? You know, because we started service at 10:30. Now somebody said, do you mind when 12 o'clock comes and goes? I don't mind. Turn to somebody and say, I don't mind. Do you really mean that now?
Yes.
I don't mind. Psalm 106, verse 9. He rebuked the Red Sea also, and it dried up. So he led them through the depths as through the wilderness. Verse 10. He saved them from the hand of him who hated them, and he redeemed them from the hand of the enemy. The waters covered their enemies. There was not one of them left. Then they believed his words. They sang his praise. They soon forgot his works. They did not wait for his counsel, but lusted exceedingly in the wilderness and tested God in the desert. And he gave them their request, but sent leanness into their soul. We are living in a generation of leanness of soul. Religion has become, God has given prosperity. God has blessed. There's buildings with chandeliers and thick carpets and the smell of success everywhere. People wearing $3,000 suits getting up and declaring the word of God. And God is nowhere to be found. Can I go see this God? No, you can't go see God, because that happens once a year in our conference. Once a year in our conference, and then, but God really visits us. It's in July. You know, July, if you can cut away, you come here. Man, we've got the man of God comes in. Some of the biggest offerings. Whoa, I'm not boasting, but we've had the biggest offering that any church in this area ever had, ever saw. So where's the presence of God? Come on, I'm talking to you today. See, because that's what we've been trained for now over 100 years. It's been over 100 years since the presence of God swept across this nation. It's been 100 years. It's been 100 years. 2008 was 100 years when the Azusa Street revival kind of ended in 1909. Been 100 years. Come on, somebody. You go into Azusa Street, it was a little old building. Go into Azusa Street, they didn't have any raised platform. There was no place where you could go in and stand up above the people. Everything was on the same level. Men and women of God came from all over the world. They get up to preach, and the Spirit of God would knock them on their keister. Literally. Say, you're blessed to be amongst us. I'm from so-and-so, and I've come to, bam, on the floor you go. People would walk in and get saved. They'd get saved blocks away. They'd be going to church and be saved by the time they got there. And they'd leave there and go to other places, and the Spirit of God was breaking out all over America. I've told the stories before. New York City was shutting down for an hour from noon to 1 o'clock. Churches and office buildings, and the mayor's office was full of people crying out to God. God was everywhere. Went to Atlantic City, New Jersey. They couldn't find anybody that wasn't saved in Atlantic City, New Jersey. Looking for somebody that wasn't saved, couldn't find one person. The conviction of the Lord was all over America. Come on, somebody. Been 100 years. We're still going through the motions. Well, the churches, the big cathedrals. Man, did you see that cathedral they just put up over on Fifth Avenue? Oh, man, yeah, it's beautiful. You go in there, man, we've got more people leaving the churches every day than ever in the history of our nation. It's never going back. You know why? The presence of God is not there. The presence of God is not there. And Bibidabs, the abs of the world are going, man, we have the presence of God. We don't want to let him go, because then he'll spoil things. that we can't be famous anymore. We can't have our name in lights anymore. Because if God takes center stage, He's going to be the Lord. He's going to be the one that calls down the enemy. He's going to be the one that heals and saves and delivers. He gets the glory. He gets the honor. He gets all of that. And there's no more heroes. We don't want that. We can have all the things that would allow others to think we really do have a relationship with God. But inside we have leanness of soul. We've sold out for religion. Compromise will barely be noticed when it's made. But the longer the deception, the more pronounced the absence of God. One of the despicable acts of Satan is to rock us to sleep thinking that our compromise is God's favor. He loves it. Someone said, the road to hell is paved with the best intentions. We don't want to hurt anybody. We don't want to. Look at me. Don't look over there in that room where God is. We keep him over there. If we want him, we'll talk. We'll ask him to come out. Just, it's okay. Live your life. Do what you want to do. Just don't stop coming to church because we're famous. Oh, Father, forgive us. Forgive us. I know this is a sober message, Lord, but I ask you to forgive us. Lord, if I've put myself in front of you in any way, forgive me, Lord. I don't want to take any of the glory from you, Lord. We don't want to take any of the glory from you, no matter how prosperous and blessed our lives have been. Lord, if after what you did with me, just me, like 2 Sundays ago, when you set me free, God, I'm forever in your debt. But if I ever use it to draw attention to me, God, may it never be, Lord. I want you to be glorified. I want your name to be glorified in this place. God, and we cry out. The leadership of this church has been crying out. The people in this church have been crying out. God, have your way. You're about to set us, turn us, someone said it today in the prayer room, turn us inside out. This area is about ready to see what you're doing in this boat. You've stepped into this boat. They're about to see, Lord. God, help us to have sense about ourselves. Lord, that we would give you the glory. Help us not to take anything on ourselves, God. Lord, you said if we want to be the first, we'll be the last. If we want to be the lead, we'll be the servant. There's no more time in the history of New Life than this is true today. Lord, we take the position of servant. We realize there'll be droves of people that will come. We must stay humble. There'll be people coming from the east, the west, the north, and the south. And they'll be coming to say, where is the presence of God? We want the presence of God. And we must allow them, God, to see your presence. Help us to decrease as you increase. God, give us all that we need pertaining to life and godliness. Lord, I pray that you meet every need in this room. God, I thank you, Father. Speak to each heart. Lord, there are needs in this room that are life and death situations. God, I pray that you'd meet every need according to your loving kindness and mercy. God, as we believe, as we close this service today, we believe, God, that people are leaving here different than they came. I pray testimonies all over the room like mine. I pray, God, that you just secretly and quietly come and just take things away. Why? Because you're allowed to be Lord of this. We declare you Lord over the service, over the times together, and we'll continue to do so. God, may you be the center of all that we do. We bless you and thank you, Lord. And everyone said,